much time. Pastor called me yesterday afternoon to fill in, so I didn't have much time, and I felt the Lord lead me to go over my devotion some, and there's a few other thoughts that I had after that, that I didn't have enough time there at that time to share. But in Malachi chapter 3, well, I guess the title of this message will be, Return Unto Me and I Will Return Unto You. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 declares, For I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, or because I am the Lord and I change not, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's the only reason why they're not consumed. It's because he is immutable. That is his love, his covenant he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that love for those people, he chose before the world, before he even made the world, that love would be an everlasting love for these people. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances. God here is telling us what is the nature of these sons and daughters of Jacob and have not kept them. This is their very nature. Even from the days of your father, you're gone away from mine ordinances. This is what they all do. And have not kept them. But he says unto these people, and this call is only to these people, Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Paul in the New Testament, Romans chapter 9, gives us a brief description of these people, of this calling. And in Romans chapter 9, we'll read verses 11 through 16, about the amazement of this calling. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. That the purpose of God, it's not man's purpose or the church's purpose, but God's purpose. That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, as Paul said in Romans chapter 4, that no man shall be justified according to the deeds of the law. No flesh shall be justified. According to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. That is God that does the calling. It was said unto her, The elder shall serve the younger, as is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. It's amazing that he would even love Jacob. It's amazing that he would even love any of the human race. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteous with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And Paul then rounds it off to a church. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll read verses 3 through 9. But in verse 3 it said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. This is that people right here, the us, who hath blessed us. What does he bless them with? The sons and daughters of Jacob. With all spiritual blessings. With spiritual blessings. And these spiritual blessings are in heavenly places. And these spiritual blessings in heavenly places, they're all in Christ. That is, God placed these people in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's what he says. According as he hath, that is, God, hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Why? So that we would be holy and without blame before him in love. What a day that's going to be. I can't wait for that day. Having predestinated us, that is, having predetermined their destiny. He predetermined, God did, the destiny of these people. Unto the adoption of children, how? By Jesus Christ to himself. And he did this all according to the good pleasure of his will. And it's all to the praise and glory of his grace, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, that is, these people, accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And that S on the word of sin means all the sins of your past, present, and future. They're all buried in the deepest sea, and that's good enough for me. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It's all according to the riches, wherein he hath abounded toward us, towards these people. The blessings just keep coming. In all wisdom and prudence, and even these people, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. He makes known to these people the mystery of his will. He is going to make that known unto them. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. This call, return unto me, in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 and 7, is to these people, return. Return, that word return means to go or to come or go back to a place or a person. That word return. So you have to have an encounter with God first before you can return unto him. The act of coming or going back to a place or an activity, that's what the word return means. This is a call from the Lord of hosts himself. And this call there, this call was not to everyone that was in that place where Malachi preached the word the Lord gave him. It wasn't to everyone there in attendance. It was only to these people that God chose before the foundation of the world. This is a call from the Lord of hosts himself. This is a call to a people who at some time in their lives who have had an encounter with the Lord of hosts himself. I believe this call, return unto me and I will return unto you. The sound or vibrations of this call have been traveling and will continue to travel throughout all the generations until the Lord takes them all home. I believe this call started with the fall of Adam, and I can testify this call is still working today, or else I wouldn't be here. I would not be here today. I have done everything to get in the way of his will for me. I've tried to stop him in every way. But that call just keeps coming out. You know, nothing's going to stop or hinder the sound or the vibrations of this call. I believe it will eventually be effective to the people this call is predestined to. Whoever is predestined to, they will hear it. And the farther you run from him, the louder the call will get. That's what I experienced. You know, I can testify for nearly 24 years, this call from the Lord of hosts himself has been nonstop for 24 years. Oh, there's been a lot of stuff that has tried to stop or hinder the vibrations of this call. A lot of stuff has tried to stop it. This call is an amazing call. It's a supernatural call. Nothing that man can do can stop it or hinder it. If the Lord of hosts wants to call someone, nothing's going to stop him. This call is an amazing call. It's a supernatural call. What makes it so special, it comes from the Lord of hosts himself. Think about sin. This is one of the foes that tries to hinder this call. Think about sin. This sin is an inward element. It's alive. It's active. Constantly, 24 hours a day. I'm so thankful that Jesus washed me in his precious blood, providing the forgiveness of sins, saving me to the uttermost. That's a done deal. Nothing can change that. But that doesn't mean sin is going to take a back seat in my life. It doesn't mean that. It's constantly working nonstop 24 hours a day. And it's not going to stop till the day the Lord takes me home. You know, it's constantly working nonstop 20. It can't take away my salvation, but it can certainly make things hard. Very hard. You know, the power and influence of sin has led me on a road, and a road that has led me into the far country like the prodigal son. I've been there. You know, I wasted my substance, spiritual substance, on riotous living. Wasted it. It eventually led me into a hog pen, and sin didn't even show me any pity or any mercy. It didn't feel sorry for me. In fact, it wanted me to stay there. But I kept hearing that call still. Return unto me. Return unto me. What an amazing manner of love that is. You know, the Lord of hosts will always show us what's right. That is, these people he's called. He'll always show us what's right, and he has everything I need to do what's right. You know, I don't have the ability of myself to even follow his ordinances or to keep them. But he has what I need for me to follow them and to keep them gladly and joyfully. While I was on that road, I could hear that call. Early on, I didn't listen to it. Return unto me. Why didn't he stop then? Why? Because he has an amazing manner of love for these people. You know, I can look back, and the farther I went, the call got louder and louder. It just kept getting louder and louder. You know, I got to the point, why do you even care about me? Why in the world do you even care about me? That just shows you the love that he has for these people. The Lord upholds himself like sin in the world. Or like sin, think of the world and all of its influences. This is another one of the foes that has tried to stop or hinder this call. Think of the world and all of its influence, constantly having one goal for me to forsake the Lord of hosts. Like sin in the world, the weights and cares of this life, constantly seeking to stop me walking with the Lord, having fellowship with him, joying and rejoicing in him. Like sin, the world, the weights and cares of this life, another foe is Satan the devil, like a roaring lion. All he wants to do is devour us. But he can't stop and hinder this call. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. He's not going to be able to stop it. This wonderful, blessed life is what he seeks to devour. Like sin, the world, the weights and cares of this life, Satan, the devil, another foe is my flesh. And this is the greatest foe of all of them, is my sinful flesh. My flesh, the Lord himself describes it, its nature, to go away from his ordinances. And my flesh, it cannot even keep them. That's what he says. Romans 7:18, Paul, he was a Pharisee. He was a fanatical Pharisee. You want to talk about righteousness? This man was good. He was a fanatic. But one day he learned how that all he was ever doing all of his life was going away from his ordinances, and he couldn't even keep them. One day he learned that. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Romans 7:18. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. For that which I do I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. You know, my flesh, it constantly takes this amazing salvation for granted. As we'll see in a moment, that's what these people were going through. Malachi. We ain't any different than they. Of taking this amazing salvation for granted, the calling or salvation, or becoming apathetic or just taking it for granted. All these foes have been working together, first of all, to get me away from the Lord of hosts himself for 24 years. I can't tell you how many times I've wandered away from him. I can't even tell you the number of them. All these foes have tried to stop or hinder this call. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. You know, I look at my life and all my weaknesses and frailties and insufficiencies and know assuredly and glory in and rejoice in the effectiveness of this call. It's going to be effective to all of his people. And I thank him for that I'm still here today because of him. So how does a son or daughter of Jacob return unto him? How? How does this happen? First, it's only his love for them is why he keeps this call going, sounding out to them, or because he loves them. He has the will to go out of his way and to cause them to return unto him. He has the will to go out of his way to cause them to return unto him. So how does that happen? Most of the churches out there, religions, they get it wrong. They tell people to start following the ordinances and keep them. That's how you return unto the Lord. No. You return unto the Lord, and then the following and the keeping of the ordinances is a result of fellowship with him, the awareness of him, walking with him. And you'll do it joyfully. It will be joyfully. It won't be a burden to do the ordinances that he wants us to do, to be what he wants us to be. It'll be joyfully. You'll actually enjoy it. Turn me to Revelations chapter 3. So what is it that caused these people to get in this condition? When I read through all of these things, all I could see was me. This is what I had to deal with. The people at that time were where Malachi preached the word the Lord gave him. Keep your place there in Malachi 2, because we're going to read through that. But just go to Revelations chapter 3, and we're going to read that. But the people at that time where Malachi preached the word the Lord gave him were in very bad shape spiritually at that time. They were in, that's why the Lord sent him there. That's why the Lord sent Malachi there. Look at verse 2 of Malachi chapter 1. It says, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? They had forgotten his amazing manner of love to them. They had forgotten it. They've gotten off track. Something caused them to get off track, to forget such an amazing matter of love that God had towards them. I mean, their answer there, wherein hast thou loved us? Wherein hast thou loved us? In another place, they couldn't see or possibly didn't want to see, or they were avoiding seeing how they were failing spiritually. As I said in Malachi 1:2, they lost sight of his amazing manner of love. In Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. This is the Lord speaking to these people, the called, according to the election. If then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts? O priests that despise my name, ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? They couldn't see where that they... All the Lord was showing them is what's wrong. But they were saying, wherein have we despised thy name? He tells them, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. That's what they were doing. Sometimes we come to church and we're not really here in heart. I know I'm guilty of that horribly many of the times. But their answer in verse 7, you offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? Wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say that the table of the Lord is contemptible. In another place, in chapter 2 and verse 17, the Lord through Malachi tells the people, you have wearied me. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Well, they couldn't see wherein that they were failing. Their answer, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? Wherein have we wearied him? You have wearied him. When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. And he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgment? In another place. In chapter 3 and verse 7. What we read earlier. Even from the days of your fathers you have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? They actually thought that they were serving the Lord and walking with him. But they were out of his presence. His presence wasn't in their lives. That's what the Lord was showing them. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Wherein have they robbed me? These people were in some pretty bad spiritual shape. They were in really bad spiritual shape. But I've been there. I've been there to where you can't see the way that you're failing the Lord. In tithes and offerings. He says in verse 9, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words, the Lord shows them another thing. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? They couldn't see the wrong that they were doing. They couldn't see it. Ye have said it is vain to serve God. What a horrible state to be in. I'd rather for the Lord to take me home to glory than to be in that kind of state, for that to be my testimony out there. It is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we kept his ordinances? You know, Even you don't have to say anything just by your attitude and the way you act out there in the world. That's what your testimony can be out there in the world. Except if we return unto the Lord. And then he'll return unto us and then he'll fix those things for us. And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud happy. Be careful out there. Just like in Psalms, I think it's 73, to where that man said that I had very nigh well slipped. Now we call the proud happy, yea, that work wickedness. That's all over out there in our culture. The place where I work, the people that do wrong, Kroger's rewards them. The people that do good, they treat them bad. And that's going on all over out there. But no matter what all the world is saying, God's way is the right way. God's way is the right way. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. And they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that fear the Lord. See, these are the people that keep returning unto the Lord. And he keeps returning unto them. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him. And them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. See, everything we say and do, either here within the walls of this building or outside there in this world, it's going to speak loud and clear at what we think about the Lord or think about his name. Everything we do, we got to be careful for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Not our sake, but for his. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now in Revelations chapter 3. How did they get this way? Or how do we get in this condition at times? I've been there. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, because thou sayest, this is Jesus speaking now to his people. He's speaking to his people. He's not speaking to the lost. He's speaking to his people. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. This is what the condition these people were here in, Malachi. That's the condition they were in. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not, they had forgotten. They had forgotten who they are and where they came from. I've done that so many times. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. You know, the day the Lord brought me out of the horrible pit, that was my condition right there. And 24 years later, that's still my condition. Miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Then when I go out there in this world, that changes the way you go out there. Rather than going out there with yourself. What they were suffering with, what I feel they were suffering with there in Malachi, and what these people are suffering with is self-willed, being self-willed, one who is dominated by self-interest, inconsiderate of others, or self-confident. That's something we were born with. We inherited that from our fathers, confidence, self-confidence, or trusting in one's abilities, qualities, and judgments. Self-reliance, reliance on one's own powers and resources. That's what the Lord's people here in at the church of Laodicea was going through. How did they get this way? How? They got away from the Lord. You know, the more you get away from the Lord and the farther you get away, the more self-confident you become, the more reliant and the more self-willed. But that call will still go out to his people. Return unto me. Either that or I wouldn't be here. Because this way of thinking led me into the hog pen. But I'm still here today. So that call is still effective and that call is still going out to his people. Jesus even said it here down here in verse 20. Or well, let's go ahead and read verse 18. I counsel thee, this is Jesus telling his people, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich with white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and to anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Those he loves, he's going to rebuke and chasten. He's going to bring them back. I really believe that with all my heart. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door. It's just like return unto me, and I will return unto you. I'm standing at the door and knocking. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. I've been saved for 24 years. Paul declares in Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's what we're supposed to do out there in the world, for Christ to live through us. That is all of the things the Lord wants us to do and everything he wants us to be, for Christ to do that through us. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. He says, if you abide in me, you can bear fruit. But without me, you can't do nothing. He was talking to his followers, his disciples. No matter what, we are still always going to be a very needy people. You know, the confidence that I had in 1994 when I was saved at dealing with circumstances and the way I lived and moved out there in the world, that confidence is not as strong as it was. Instead, I find myself leaning unto him. You know, up there at Kroger's, this week, I got to order anywhere from $100,000 to $150,000. I get to spend $100,000 to $150,000 of Kroger's money. Kroger's money. I get to spend that much money. That's amazing, you know. That'd be nice, you know, but it's not my money, see. Now, I'm either going to do that work, you know, and remember this, how I do that job of ordering all that produce is going to affect the lives of a lot of people. It's going to affect the lives of a lot of people, you know. It's going to affect the customers that come to and fro. It's going to affect the people that work in that produce department. It's going to affect the management there at Kroger's, and it's going to affect them as a company. So I can go every day and leave my house self-confident, self-reliant, trusting myself, or I can look to the Lord and say, Lord, don't leave me alone to myself. Cause I need you to be there with me, to lead me by your Spirit. And he's done some amazing things up there. But see, that's what we have the opportunity to do when it comes to all the ordinances. To all the ordinances, all the things the Lord wants us to do. You can either rely on yourself, or more and more you can learn to trust him. More and more you can learn to trust him. That's what Paul was saying. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, the more that my self-confidence and my self-trust, self-reliance dies, the more that Christ will do it through me. The more that Christ will do it through me. And 2 Corinthians 4:11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Why? That the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Think of all the ordinances that the Lord wants us to do and everything he wants us to be. Jesus personally experienced it himself. In John 12:23-26, in verse 24, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground. This is what Jesus said. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You know, the more that the old man dies, the more that Christ will live through us. We can do things that we wouldn't be able to do on our own. And the more you experience it, the more you will not trust yourself. The more you will find yourself calling upon him to help you to do whatever he wants you to do, or to be whatever he wants you to be. But if it dies, Jesus said, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's what he did. He's still bringing forth fruit. He that loveth this life shall lose it, but he that hateth this life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. You know, that's gain through loss, life out of death. In Ephesians chapter 5, I want to read in closing about all the ordinances. We try to keep it simple because there's a lot of ordinances. You can read back in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, in all those books of all the laws that are there. God led Paul here at the Ephesian church just to round it off and do a few things. The things to really focus upon that we've been called to focus upon. And in chapter 5 and verse 21, you know, many times that we pray for the Lord to put a hedge about us, protect us. Did you know that the ordinances that he gives us is for our protection? It's for our protection. You know, the moment that those ordinances are taken away, the moment that they are removed, then is when you will be under the attack of all of your foes. These ordinances is that hedge round about us. We, through him, we can do these things through him. We can do these things through him. In chapter 5:21, he's talking about marriage. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. He's talking about the husband and the wife. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's awfully hard for the wives to do. Sometimes guys, they won't even pull over the side of the road and ask for instructions on how to get somewhere. So it's awfully hard for a wife to do that. But whenever you find it so hard, that's when you pray to the Lord to give you the grace and the strength, and he will meet your needs. I really believe that with all my heart. It says, husbands, in verse 25, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That can be awfully hard out here in this world. It can be awfully hard to do such a thing, but whenever it gets so hard, that's when you have the opportunity for him to help you, to grant you the strength you need to be able to do things that you wouldn't be able to do on your own. And it's like Paul said, in 2 Corinthians 4:11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. It will have an excellent testimony out there in the world. Out there in the world. In chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When I got to be 12, 13 years old, my parents were the dumbest parents on the face of the earth. I was the smartest 12 or 13 year old that there ever was. You know, that's the way we think. And sometimes, even if you think that way, God still gives you this ordinance to protect you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, even if it don't make sense. If you find it hard or you're struggling, ask the Lord for help. That's what he's there for. He's there to help you. He knows that you're wretched, miserable, poor and blind and naked. He's got what you need in order to fulfill these things, and it will be a testimony out there in the world. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Which is the first commandment with promise. That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. No matter what the world is doing concerning all of these ordinances, still through Jesus Christ, keep seeking to do these things. Keep seeking to do them. For me, in verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. You know, the managers from Kroger's to me, they're just getting dumber and dumber. You know, but still the Lord calls me, servants, Dennis, be obedient to them that are your masters no matter what. Whenever I find it struggle, and I do, I struggle with this, that's when I take it to the Lord and say, Lord, don't let me go out there by myself for your name's sake. With fear and trembling, with singleness of your heart as unto Christ. See, that's the way we're supposed to be doing everything, all these ordinances. Doing it as doing it unto him. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. From the heart, doing the will of God. It's not about them. It's not about me. It's about doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Finally, my brethren, he says in verse 10, be strong in the Lord. That's where all your strength is. Remember, all of these ordinances are there to protect us. They're not to make our life miserable. They're going to protect us from a lot of problems. Only his ordinances to us is what brings order and organization in our lives and peace and happiness and joy. You're not going to find it any other way. But remember, be strong in the Lord whenever these tasks are before you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't do it in your own strength. Do it in his. Call upon him. Challenge him. He told you to challenge him. And see if he'll not pour you out a blessing. And you won't have enough room to receive it. He's been doing that for me for 24 years. Put on the whole armor. He's got armor for you. That's what he's talking about. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praying always, verse 18. For our prayers not to be in the flesh. You know, the majority of my prayer life has been in the flesh and not in the spirit. Why? Because I didn't have the Lord's strength there with me. I wasn't strong in him. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Brother Jim.